When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Games Cast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Finished Tim.
Oh, yeah. Hey. There we go. I finished Mortal Kombat 1 last night. Oh. So, of course, I had to get together a crew of people to talk about this video game. Y'all have even way more experience than I do with the game. But it wasn't just me. It wasn't just Bless. Of course, we also had to ask from IGN, Mitchell Saltzman.
What's up? How's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's going really well. Last time we had you was Sonic Frontiers. So let's see where the conversation lies on this one. All right. Mm-hmm. We were high on that one. Y'all were high on that.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, high as you can be on a okay video game.
Exactly. Something tells me there's going to be a little bit more actual enthusiasm for this one. But rounding out the group as well, last time we saw him on Gamescast, I think, was Street Fighter VI, keeping it in the fighting game family here.
It's totally bad. Can I call these two the Deadly Alliance?
Oh, my God. I like that.
Because Mitchell Saltzman, of course, is like the fighting game dude at IGN. Mitchell reviewed Mortal Kombat for IGN. Reviews, like, pretty much all the fighting games or at IGN. And then Khalif is just a killer when it comes to Mortal Kombat. And so...
Can confirm.
The Deadly Alliance.
Smoke in the game, smoke in the studio. It's the perfect match. It's perfect.
There we go. Of course, this is the Kinda Funny Games Cast, where each and every week we get together to talk about the latest in video games and all that we love about them. Of course, normally this show happens once a week, but... So many games are coming out. So many things to review. What did we do earlier in the week?
We did Cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah. It was a review of Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty that you could check out on Gamescast. But we decided to take the week off XCast to get an extra Gamescast in here to review Mortal Kombat 1 because we got codes in for that very late and very limited. Mm-hmm. We originally only got one code, and it was like... 2 days before release or something like that. So it's like, let's take a little bit more time, get more thoughts here. And I'm happy we did that because I got the time to play myself. But of course, you can watch the show on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You could also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Cast, and we'll be right there for you. But if you wanted to go above and beyond, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to be. You can get the show ad free. You can watch it live as we record it. You get a whole bunch of bonus content, and you could be a Patreon producer like Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, or Delaney Twiney have done. Thank you all so very, very much. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but I'll tell you about that later. We got to get into it. MK1, Bless, Tim. You are the lead reviewer at Kinda Funny of Mortal Kombat 1. Mm-hmm. What did you think about it, and what would you give it on the Kinda Funny scale?
Yeah, so I think this is a very fascinating game to review because I almost want to review it from three different angles. I want to review just the game on its own, by its own merits. I want to review the story mode, and I also just want to review it from the sense of how I relate to Mortal Kombat in terms of where I'm at with Mortal Kombat 1 and my relationship with the franchise. And so starting from the top level, I'm going to give this game a 4 out of 5. That's my official review score for Mortal Kombat 1. Talking about this game by its own merits, it is flashy. It is Mortal Kombat, right? It is fun. The combat is there and it's great. The story mode is there. And I think for what Mortal Kombat 1 is as a Mortal Kombat game and as a fighting game in general, it is a full package, right? It's setting that standard in terms of what you want out of single player content. The story is really fun. The characters are awesome. The world is still great, right? If you're a Mortal Kombat fan, you got so much to look forward to out of Mortal Kombat, the video game. The fighting is dope. The new cameo system works as intended, and I think it's a great addition to making the combat feel a bit more, even more involved than it has been. The different uses for what the cameo system can do, I think, are really fascinating and fun, whether it be extending your combo or whether it be repositioning you on the stage because you have Scorpion as your cameo, and so he'll like use his spear to like pull you in to like get out of the way of an opponent, right? I think those kinds of uses for the cameo system makes it really fun and really engaging. I think it goes above and beyond. The environments and the characters look great unless you're playing on Switch. But like on the consoles that you want to play this game on, the game looks fantastic, right? The environments are incredible. The violence is there. Like, I think this is the full package of Mortal Kombat. I then jump over to the story mode. And again, I think the story mode is a really great time. There are some points in the story mode where I feel like, man, I wish Mortal Kombat 1 could feel like it had the liberty to go beyond this box of what is Mortal Kombat. You know, it feels like I'm almost watching these guys have to reckon with, all right, people expect these certain characters to behave a certain way. People expect Scorpion and Sub-Zero to have their fight, so we got to give them a fight, right? We got to make sure there's a god recruiting these dudes. We got to make sure that Shao Kahn is evil and Quan Chi comes through and a Deadly Alliance comes in. It almost feels like I'm watching a franchise look at what we've seen like Marvel do, right, with something like Endgame or Infinity War, and go, hey, how do we make sure we're giving as much fan service as we can? And it feels like they're doing that over again in the way that they can do with Mortal Kombat. But I think I would have loved it more even if they found newer and fresher stories to tell. I think the story they tell here is really fun, and there are so many hype moments, and if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, there's so much to love here, especially for me, because I'm somebody who I played most of the Mortal Kombat games. I want to say the ones that I haven't played are probably Deadly Alliance, and then I didn't play much DC Universe, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, but I played pretty much every other Mortal Kombat. My Mortal Kombats, in terms of where my nostalgia mainly lies, are the PS2 Mortal Kombats, and this game and this story mode does so much to honor the PS2 Mortal Kombats in a way that those ones never get honored. The references they make, the characters they choose to include, the roster in full, gives so much love to the PS2, and I absolutely love that, and that got me hyped. And so, yeah, I think for the most part, the story mode does its job at being this great, this fun time, and being another layer of single-player content to keep you going. From there, I then jump into like my own personal relationship with Mortal Kombat, because I've grown up as a Mortal Kombat person, right? Like, I had Soul Calibur growing up. I played Street Fighter with my friends, but Mortal Kombat was the one that I would always go to. And over the years, you know, I've ventured into playing more 2D stuff. In the last 5 years especially, right, I went from Dragon Ball FighterZ to Guilty Gear Strive to Street Fighter VI. And in Street Fighter VI especially, I've seen so much done to push the genre of fighting games forward, whether it be with the modern control scheme, whether it be with like arcade mode, not the arcade mode, but like the mode where you're online and you're running around the arcade and hanging out with people, right? Whether it be with even what they did with World Tour, right? Which, in my opinion, kind of a swing and a miss, but it was something that was different and fresh. And I think they really tried with the World Tour mode. Mortal Kombat 1 for me almost feels like they're on cruise control, where it is, we know what Mortal Kombat is.
Both spelled with a K.
But yeah, cruise control spelled with a K. We know what Mortal Kombat is. We know what people expect. It's going to have the X-rays. It's going to have the EX moves, or not the X moves, but the enhanced moves. It's going to have the roster of fatalities and the brutalities. And they found this streamlined version of what the Mortal Kombat format is that is expected and I think works. I would almost want them to push that further, right? I feel like I've now gone into playing somewhat of a similar Mortal Kombat game for maybe the last decade. And with that, I think you get left behind in the times a little bit, where I look at something like the story mode, and again, like, they've made the story mode the same way they made the other story modes, and this is something I'm stealing from Mitchell's review from IGN. Why, when I start a new chapter, do I not get the prompts on screen for what my my character specials are, right? Like, why isn't there an onboarding process for that moment to moment, even in the story mode? Why is there like, and again, this is going to get into what Mortal Kombat is versus what it isn't. There is a level of stiffness in how the game moves that is very Mortal Kombat, but is also very not what any other fighting game is right now. And if you're jumping from Street Fighter or Guilty Gear or any other fighting game into Mortal Kombat, oh man, it is going to be a struggle for you trying to reacclimate to what this game is, right? Like, there's a combo system that I think is very aggressive, that I think is very brutal to like wrap your mind around, that, again, this is what Mortal Kombat is. But I think when you're somebody who is into fighting games, and you're somebody who is playing a lot of fighting games, or you're somebody who's trying to transition into Mortal Kombat, it can feel very unforgiving to get into the Mortal Kombat ecosystem. Once you do, it's a fun time. But yeah, like, it's been an interesting ride this time around trying to get into Mortal Kombat, because coming off of Street Fighter VI, now I'm like, man, after I'm done with this, I think I'm going straight back into Street Fighter because Street Fighter feels more friendly. It feels more open for me getting into it as like a quote unquote newcomer. I'm not a newcomer anymore, but you get what I mean. And so my overall score is a 4 out of 5, right? And that, again, that is me judging Mortal Kombat by its own merits and what it does and, you know, how much fun I've had with it. But yeah, I think there's a lot to talk about with where Mortal Kombat 1 is at now.
So Mitch, going to you then, you reviewed it for IGN. What score did you give it for IGN? And please expand on those thoughts.
I gave it an 8 out of 10, which is a great on the IGN scale. I think it's a great game. Blessing touched upon pretty much everything. The one thing I want to like kind of dive into is like kind of the difference in philosophy of like Capcom with Street Fighter 6 and NetherRealm with Mortal Kombat 1, whereas like with Street Fighter 6, Capcom felt like they were trying to push forward the genre of fighting games in terms of like, you know, the battle hub, what an online game looks like for a fighting game, what, you know, a bunch of quality of life improvements, like what can a training mode be in a fighting game? What are all the things we can add to training mode to make it the best possible training mode that it can be? Whereas you look at Mortal Kombat 1, and it really does feel like NetherRealm is just trying to make kind of the best version of MK based on what happened last time. Like they are, you know, iterating upon story mode very, very slightly. The online modes are virtually identical between Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 11. In fact, I would say they're a little less featured in Mortal Kombat 1. And so, like, I don't want to say like there's a lack of ambition, but I do think that cruise control is probably like a good way to put it. Like Blessing said, it felt like they might have been on cruise control with this game. But even with all that said, the big important thing about Mortal Kombat 1 is this cameo system and how game changing it is for Mortal Kombat and like its actual gameplay, which is the most important thing I think that most fighting game fans are going to be paying attention to, that they're going to be, you know, really diving into. The fact that you have these cameos to add that extra level to your own personal style of play is just so freeing, especially when you look back at like Mortal Kombat 11 and like you could figure out a character very, very quickly. It's like, okay, this is my move that's going to launch him. This is my move that's going to catch him. This is my move that's going to finish the combo. And, you know, that's going to be my go-to bread and butter combo. Whereas Mortal Kombat 1, you have to consider all kinds of things like, what cameo am I going to use? Is this cameo better for combo extension, or is this cameo better for starting up a combo? Like Frost has a really, really good far-hitting, low-freezing combo that you can just use out of neutral and get a free, you know, 30% damage off of. And then there's all kinds of other things that you have to consider as well. Like, you know, does my cameo have an ambush attack, which basically means that you can use it at any time, or is it like more of a straight thing that you have to cancel after a certain move? There's just all kinds of things that you have to consider, and it leads to a type of game where you can spend a lot of time in training mode and have a lot of fun figuring your character out, figuring your character combination out. So all that I think is phenomenal with Mortal Kombat 1, but I do think it kind of drops the ball on online play and, you know, basically trying to make Mortal Kombat more than what it was before.
Kyle, I want to get you into this. What would you give it on the Kind of Funny scale of 1 to 5, and what are your thoughts?
I would give it a 4 out of 5. I think the game is pretty fantastic. I think as MK as my main game for most fighters, having kind of gone and bounced between Street Fighter 6 and then going back to my baby in MK, it feels really interesting to go back and bounce between those two, because I remember when Street Fighter 6 came out and me having kind of just come off 11, I was struggling a ton to be able to get combos together and get back into that old Street Fighter kind of mode of how those moves kind of interact with each other and timing and all of those things. And it's been funny to kind of get back into MK and automatically feel pretty at home in terms of my competency and my ability to kind of like really dig into the minutiae of what that game is. I would mirror the sentiments of Bless and team and Mitch about like, it feels like they did play it safe in some areas. And I think the thing that is kind of the most disappointing, even though I'm pretty high on the game, is that for what we've seen across other games right now, it does feel like NetherRealm has decided that the ways that they want to innovate are graphically, in terms of the retconning of the story, which I think, you know, once we really dig into that, I think is kind of the most brilliant part of the game. But it does feel like a lot of those quality of life things that we have now kind of an expectation for didn't really come into to this version of the game. Things like, how do you pick a new character in between a fight when you have a cameo in Combat League? Like, you're kind of stuck with that character until you lose. The ability to kind of watch other people play while you play has gotten a little bit worse in terms of King of the Hill matches and things like that. So it's like some of those pieces feel like they didn't get the love that we had an expectation for. And it feels like it in totality kind of like makes it feel a little bit older than what we wind up getting. And it feels like, you know, I'd love to hear the thoughts of the rest of the crew. It felt like for as much feature richness there was to the story mode, it felt shorter maybe in terms of how long the mode was. But it did give you so much good fan service that maybe that was the thing that balanced it out. At least it did for me. Again, having a ton of fun with it, and it is now, again, now that I'm getting into that space and understanding what cameos can do, it is my favorite fighter of the year right now.
Ooh, yeah, that's super fun. Well, I'm excited to talk about this from a different perspective. I am not a big fighting game guy. I enjoy fighting games, but not really great at them. But I do love a good story mode in a fighting game. And like, even going back to the OGs of the original Street Fighters and the original Mortal Kombat, just playing through, doing the whole tower, like facing off in a more now what's known as arcade mode, getting the fun little ending stories for these characters, I was always here for that stuff. And like, even to the PS2 Mortal Kombats with Deadly Alliance and Deception and stuff, like, loved renting those games from Blockbuster, just playing through as all the different characters and seeing what they were going to give us. And like, I like how it all felt simultaneously important and canon and just nonsense and just fun. And who are you playing as? Is it really going to matter or not? The NetherRealm games, I think, deserve so much credit for like going above and beyond and honestly creating a brand new experience when it comes to these single player campaigns. I have been so impressed from Injustice 2 all the way through to Mortal Kombat 1. And I would recommend this game to most gamers. Like, I feel like whether or not you care about Mortal Kombat or fighting games, I feel like if you have the means to play this game, you owe it to yourself to try out this campaign, because the level of production value and fun to be had from it, I think, is just off the charts. Like, it to Ka's point, I think that it's about in line with the other ones, if I remember correctly. Like, it took me about like 6.5 hours, and I feel like that's normally what they are. But I like that. I really like it not overstaying its welcome. I feel like it was so much fun to play the different characters. I get what Bless and Mitch are saying about wishing there was like a here's the combos for these characters that would like kind of teach you a little bit more embedded in the presentation. But in some ways, I kind of like that it taught me to just hit start and look at the combo list, because that's the way that you're going to play the game with other characters in other modes. I feel like this game, to a, I want to say newcomer, even though it's not, I'm not so much a newcomer, but I'm just like still not up on all the stuff when it comes to the advanced techniques. I feel like this game did a really good job of making me feel welcome and like holding my hand where I needed it to, but making me feel like I understood what I was doing in a really supportive way. Having said that, sorry, let me take a step back before I even say that part. I love the UI of this game. I think it's just so clean, where the health bars are, the bar at the bottom. Like, you totally understand exactly what's going on. I don't think that they overdid the UI, which even something like Street Fighter, I look at nowadays and I'm just like, there's just a lot of meters. There's a lot of bars, and it's a little unclear what each thing's supposed to be. Whereas this, it's extremely clear where there's the health bar, there's the timer, there's the bar at the bottom left for your specials, and then there's the cameo system that is a bit more of like a cool down circle thing. Totally makes sense to me. And I just feel like it's a joy to look at and it's a joy to play because of just how clean it all is. And in the story mode, transitioning from the gameplay of the fight into the cutscenes is so seamless that every time I went, oh shit. Like, it just kept hitting me where I was like, dang, man. I was talking to Roger about this. This game reminds me a lot of the Uncharted series if you took out all of the climbing. So it's just the shooting monster closet and then a cutscene, but replace the shooting with a fun fighting game, right? And I think that to that extent, it is so worth your time. This is so much fun. I've seen a lot of people say like, oh, it's pure just like Saturday morning cartoon goodness when it comes to the story. I'd go one step further than that. I think that what this is pure, authentic video game. This is just a video game ass story that we don't get much of these days because everything's trying so hard to be so serious or so this or so that, so cinematic even. This is just having as much fun with the Mortal Kombat lore as they possibly can. And I was there for it, for every dumbass line that Johnny Cage has that's referencing a movie, which I don't think he can say something without referencing a movie, especially in this, or every other character that literally can't have a sentence without saying the words Mortal Kombat or finish him.
Yep.
It's impressive how many times they got those things into the writing, but it just worked. However, I do think Bless is right. We've seen this before. There was no moment in this game that in the story where I was like, whoa, like I can't believe they're doing this. I could believe they did every single thing that they did. And there was some surprising moments of like nods and homages to things. There was a lot of stuff I didn't get that totally went over my head the amount of characters that would pop up, especially towards an end sequence in the game, I was like, I bet you Blessing's popping off right now. Were you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, dude, I was popping off.
The last chapter ending, of this game is insane.
That ending sequence is crazy.
Yeah. 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 And I loved it. It was fun and it was entertaining. I just didn't know who a lot of the people were. Yeah. So, anyways, I had a blast with this game, and I just want to say I recommend it to everybody to give this thing a shot.
I mean, to your point, I think it's impressive, though, that Mortal Kombat has gotten to the point where we hold the story to a higher standard.
Yes.
Like, how insane is that? Mm. If this was 2010, or right, whenever MK9 came out, this would come out and like it would blow our fucking minds. The story mode is this good. It's got it, but it's been this good now for a while. To now we're like, all right, but push it further.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that's where I'm at with the story, where it's like, oh man, even as I watch it from cutscene to cutscene, like I'm looking at these cutscenes and watching what's happening, and I'm like, wow, why can't the movies be this good? Right? Like, this is presenting itself in a cinematic way that is even better than what any of the Mortal Kombat movies have done, right? Like, that's how good the story mode is. But yeah, then I have to get into like that nitpicking mode of like, oh yeah, okay, like I'm enjoying this so much, but man, yeah, like we've seen this before, right? Like, we've seen this character interactions, we've seen it there was an article, I forget who wrote this article, it might have been Washington Post, that had an article that was like Mortal Kombat. Oh, what was it? Like, essentially saying that Mortal Kombat feels old at this point, right? Kind of saying that it's kind of reveling in the fact that it's more of this nostalgic thing as opposed to reveling in like being a new thing, being something that could be with the times, being something that could be fresh and new. I think there's something there that maybe we could see pushed in the next game. But even with that, right, like, this is still one of the best fighting game stories that we can ask for.
Yep.
And so.
Yeah, Mitch, I want to get back to you talking about you loving that. I don't want to spoil anything, but what was your impressions of the story mode?
I like the story mode a lot. I think, like everyone has said, this is a mode that we've seen for the last 15 years, so it's not super surprising that, or you know, unexpected that it's as good as it is. But I think it's impressive that NetherRealm has kept a consistent quality in all their story modes throughout all these years, pretty much. Like, there's no single game that I can point to like, oh yeah, that's the bad Mortal Kombat storyline, the one you don't want to watch. Like, they've all been really, really good. And you know, I think it's just the kind of thing that you have to go into with the idea that this is kind of stupid. It is a summer blockbuster popcorn movie in video game form. And I think if you go in with that mindset, like, it's really impossible to not be entertained by what's happening in these story modes. They're just so well choreographed, they're so well directed, the acting is really good, with the exception of Megan Fox as Nitara.
Oh, yeah.
they've been having some struggle with the celebrity casting, I think, for like their main story mode.
She didn't stand out to me.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it took me a while to be like, wait, which one was Megan Fox? And then I was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Like, feel like she was up there with everybody.
I had a similar thing with Ronda Rousey in the last game, where, like, it wasn't until I finished where I remembered that Ronda Rousey was in the last game, and everybody was like, oh, she was terrible. And I was like, oh, I guess I just didn't realize.
Yeah.
I think she's probably worse in, like, the character intros between each fighter when you're
I've
playing.
I've seen clips
in,
of like, that, where, like, her voice is, like, there's one where her voice kind of breaks, and it's like, whoa. Y'all didn't retake that one? Like, what's going on?
It's also worth mentioning, like, they recorded this during the pandemic, so it could have been like, you know, all the other people that are cast as actors in this are like professional voice actors, probably that had their own home situation figured out. Megan Fox, I imagine, like, maybe not so much, because she's more of an on-screen actor, maybe didn't have the, you know, the home recording setup to really make it sound as good as it as it, you know, should. But I don't know, that's just me supposing.
Ka, you being the Mortal Kombat guy, when I think Mortal Kombat, I think about you. Do you think this game did for that, for the yous out there? Like, the is this going to be the Mortal Kombat, or is like, oh man, this one missed the mark a little?
Well, I think the thing that I keep coming back to is, I think if you talk to a lot of folks in the community right towards the end of 11, a lot of folks were kind of disappointed in kind of the balancing of characters and in some of the systems that were there. You did get a lot of folks kind of talking about how the story was good, but also felt a little bit rote. And the biggest kind of change moving into MK1 was, of course, the naming convention and kind of going back into kind of retconning and doing the multiverse version of MK. And for me, I come back to just what could have happened within that scenario, and knowing how kind of thoughtful Ed Boon and the rest of that team are about kind of moving the story forward. And I'm really excited about that, because I feel like when you do these retcons and you kind of, you know, restart the timeline again, you can botch a lot of stuff within that conversation. And I think what is going to happen has made me more excited, because now we have a different version of multiple timelines in multiple characters that we can then go to and look at and say, well, oh, if this character is doing this now, what does that mean for the things that we knew, you know, previously, like Johnny Cage and Sonya were together in a couple, and now they're not in this version of it. You know, what happened? Well, you know what happens to Jax. Jax's hand gets handed some business. But, you know, there are a lot of characters now that have and will come into their own in a different way. Like, even, you know, my main in Raiden having now been kind of chosen in a different way, you get to see some of those characters kind of change their motives. And, you know, if you go and play that character's tower, there's even a nod to his old personality in the previous game. So I think it just gives the space a lot of room to grow in a way that story-wise gives a lot of space, DLC-wise gives a lot of space, where you don't really have that conversation of, well, this character doesn't belong in this canon anymore. Even though we had a peek at some of the DLC characters that are coming, nothing is out of bounds now because of this retcon, which is kind of dope.
Yeah. What about from a gameplay perspective? Do you feel like this one's kind of living up with the cameo system?
Oh, the cameo system is world-changing for the Mortal Kombat universe. I think, like what Mitch was talking about, of like the permutations that you have to think about when you go into a matchup now are so wild, because you can even think about it in ways of, which characters do I want to go that are off meta that switches up things, because it just adds a new wrinkle to the conversation about where you want to play, how you want to play, and the kind of tools that you have at your disposal. All of those things just makes it so much more fun for when I think about the tournament season that's going to be coming up now. And we've seen tournaments every day now in the MK space that people are running offline. And I'm constantly seeing new tech. And that's not just because of the newness of the game, but just because people are finding stuff every day that goes alongside these new cameo characters and stuff that we haven't seen before. So the game is in a much better spot in a kind of much broader space that I think will also lend to bringing more people into the game that maybe have never played it before.
I want to keep talking about the game, but real quick, I do want to take a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep because I just can't stop thinking and my brain just won't stop talking. It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk them through. Therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace, and it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. You can find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So what do you think about this as a full package at release? We know there's DLC coming. Are you happy with what we have as a fighting game and what we're already promised as kind of a roadmap?
I think Mortal Kombat in general is probably one of the most complete fighting games out there, just in terms of like the sheer, you know, variety of modes that they have in terms of like, if you want to play online, you got ranked online. There's a really great ranked system called Combat League, which, you know, unlocks specific gear for your character that you earn from getting high ranks, which is really, really cool. If you're more of a, you know, casual player and you just want to experience a story, there's this great story mode that you can go through. And, you know, it's 6 hours of a great story mode that you can play and then maybe, you know, just put it on a shelf, but you'll have, you know, that great experience. And then if you want to keep on playing, there's Invasions mode, which, you know, is a mode that's designed for basically unlimited playing. It's a grind. It's not for me, but I'm sure there are people out there that love just, you know, kind of mindlessly going through that mode, unlocking all kinds of different pieces of gear, customizable items for their characters, you know, art pieces, music tracks. There's so much to unlock in this game that like I can't even see the end of it. And then, you know, there's the DLC that's coming down the road that we know is going to be, you know, expansive. Not only that, but there's also seasons for Invasions mode, where every season you get a new seasonal story, you get new seasonal gear. There's just so much to play in this game that if you're looking for something to just, you know, keep on grinding through for now until like the next Mortal Kombat game, you've got it. So yeah,
Bless, kind of a same type of question. You were saying that once you're done with this, you think you might go back to Street Fighter 6 and like have had your time here, but then really your heart's with Street Fighter. How much more time do you think you have here? Like, what are you looking forward to continuing to do with Mortal Kombat before you move back?
Yeah, I think the thing that is keeping me in, and Mitch kind of touched on this a little bit, is unlocking the gear for the characters. That's one thing that I really am enjoying, right? The customization of it. The more you play, the more you play specific characters, the more you level up that particular character. And so if I main a Scorpion and I get my Scorpion up, right, like 5, 10, 15 levels, I am now unlocking new masks. I'm unlocking new cosmetic gear. I'm also unlocking new brutalities and new fatalities. And that I think is really cool, right? Like, I have this incentive to want to double down and focus in on a character. And right now I am between maining Melina and I'm also maining Baraka as well. And I want to main Melina, but I'm way better as Baraka. So I'm like, am I just going on Baraka? But the fact that, cool, the more I play Baraka, the more I'm actually leveling up this character. That's super satisfying. And like, I peeked into the Invasions mode too, and I'm like with Mitch that's not my jam, but I do think it's neat how much content there is that can keep you in, right? The fact that you have online towers, Invasion, you have a story mode that's going to last you 5 to 6 hours, right? You have like enough stuff there to keep you going. And I think for me, that's honestly the stuff that's keeping me in. You know, I think Street Fighter, I kind of want to get to, because that's the kind of game where I literally just play ranked online and I have such a blast just with the pure fighting mechanics of it. I think Mortal Kombat is where it's at with in terms of the content, with the capital K, right? Like, the content is there to keep me in. And so I honestly don't know how much longer I have with Mortal Kombat. I think I'm going until that stuff gets tiring, but that stuff is so good that it could keep me going for another, let's say, 10 to 20 hours.
I do want to say a shout out to our boy Mega Ran, who did the credit song.
Oh, did he?
And I was like, holy shit.
I didn't even notice
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was holy like watching shit. The credits. I'm like, oh my God, yes. So that's awesome. Super awesome.
Tim, did you have any favorite parts of the story?
I mean, like the whole.
Without spoiling,
like the last hour is kind of just like perfect. Yeah. Like,
dude, I keep thinking back to like the Johnny Cage chapter where they introduce his character.
Yeah.
Oh, like one of my favorite gaming moments of the year. Like, really well done. Really cool. Like, I mean, as a player, you already know what's happening, right? But like, the way that they stick with it and the way that they commit to the gimmick they're doing there, I thought was just fucking fantastic.
It was
and
great.
Then I also just really like what they did with Baraka's character, because Baraka is just that character where, like, correct me if I'm wrong, in previous Mortal Kombat, Baraka has always been evil, right? Like, he's always been kind of a, like, yeah in that evil like category.
He's a henchman character, basically.
Yeah, like, right, usually he's right. Like, all right, cool, nobody gives a fuck about Baraka. The way they utilize the way they utilize his character in the story mode, like, smart. Actually got me. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, so speaking on characters, with y'all being very familiar with Mortal Kombat and this being the, you know, 12th iteration of these characters in some ways, are there any characters that y'all liked the changes of specifically, or are there any characters that you're like, oh man, they messed up my girl?
I like this question.
Go ahead, Mitch.
I was just going to say, I kind of like, I would say 90% of the you know, kind of reinventions of classic characters that I've seen. You know, talking specifically about the 3D era characters, I think Li Mei is definitely a standout. I think, you know, I couldn't care less about Li Mei during the 3D era, but I think the visual you know, makeover that she got in MK1 and also kind of her role in the story is very, very interesting. I think, who else was there? So I think Scorpion has probably the most interesting and maybe controversial change, and like his identity was changed. But I also think like he is a very interesting character in particularly his role in the story and like with the Lin Kuei clan and like kind of what happens with that clan and how it leads to things that people are expecting out of Scorpion is also really, really cool. The one character that, and God, I hate saying this because paired on top of what I've already said, it's like I'm out to get her, but I don't like what they did to Nitara. I think she looks like Megan Fox in cosplay, and I wish they did something a little different with her.
What about from a gameplay perspective, though?
From a gameplay perspective, in terms of reinventing the characters, I don't really enjoy Scorpion in this game as much as I normally did. He's very different in terms of how his moves kind of operate. But for everyone else that I've, you know, gotten to experience, like there's new tricks that every character has that, you know, make them feel very, very different from previous versions. And it's fun to discover those tricks and kind of relearn a character is what I'll say about that.
I love Liu Kang, like, being that god character in this game and, like, you kind of having, like, you feeling like a souped up Liu Kang. I thought that felt really cool, especially.
I will say, the moment I started playing as Liu Kang, I was like, oh, it's over. I'm not playing as anyone else.
He's
the best.
Well, like, he's amazing.
Because, yeah, it's OP as hell, and you're like, yeah.
This is all, like, especially like, his, like, Fire Dragon, where, like, he'll attach his character across the screen and then fucking kick
so
toward them.
So sick.
Super sick. I'll give, like, a bit of a hot take, right? I don't necessarily love how much we got lore into Kenshi in this one, because like in previous games, like obviously like the whole thing with Mortal Kombat 1 is that it's a different timeline, so we're gonna like maybe mix up a bit of their backstories. I liked how little we knew about Kenshi, and like we maybe knew a bit about Kenshi in the previous ones, but like I personally just did not know what the fuck was up with this character up until this point. Like, he's a dude with a blindfold and a sword, that's all, and like he has telepathy, that's all I've known about Kenshi up until this point. And in this one you get more answers on like who he is and what he's up to, and then like where he's getting certain things, and I'm like, ooh, this is very close to like in the Star Wars prequels when we got answers to questions that we didn't have. I was fine like him being mysterious and me being like, oh, what happened to him, what's his mysterious past. We get answers and I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't need the answers here. And so that's me on my hater raid. That said, like I mentioned, right, Baraka I think is super cool in this game, like what they did with this character. Reptile in the story I thought was done really cool.
Super cool
like had me actually feeling for his character in a way that I've never felt for Reptile before. Even Melina, like Melina's role in the story, and like on the opposite side of what I just talked about with Kenshi, I think Melina's explanation for what's going on with her character, really fascinating, really cool. And I like how they connected all together with like also what's going on with other characters and, you know, what's going on in the Mortal Kombat world in a broader way. I thought they tied that stuff really well together.
Kyle, what about you?
I was just gonna say real quick, just because I forgot it while Blessing was talking. I feel like we gotta give a shout out to Shang Tsung, because I think this is probably the best iteration of Shang Tsung in the Mortal Kombat series.
I mean, I can say from a sheer performance standpoint, homie was going off. I fucking if he was on screen, I was like, I am all in on this. Loved the performance. I love his vibe. I love, again, it just delivers what we expect. When Johnny Cage is on screen, we know what we're going to get. When Shang Tsung's on screen, we know we're about to get, I'm an evil ass bad guy. And even when I'm on your side, I'm not on your side. And there's like a smarminess to him. Like, I just, he's always smiling. Everything he says, he's smiling. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you kind of hang on every word that he says.
Yeah.
One more author out there. I wish we got more out of Smoke in the story. I really like his character just in general. I think the Smoke power, like his moveset, it's fucking insane. It's been insane for a while. I wish he had a bit more presence, right? Like, I understand that, hey, it's the Lin Kuei. We want to focus on Scorpion and Sub-Zero. I wish we got a bit more Smoke.
Yuri Lowenthal, right?
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
He's busy. He's out there swinging around.
He's doing his thing. But Khalif, what about you in terms of like the character changes?
I'm anti-Smoke because he has a boy band haircut now, so I can't rock with Smoke. He has to get deleted off the entire roster. Shang's performance is brilliant and amazing. Like, he's the only cat that would beat your ass with his pinky up, which is fantastic. And I loved Reptile. In terms of gameplay, though, I think Shang is amazing, being able to morph between old Shang, new Shang, and be able to still take souls, which is fantastic. I think Reptile's changes have been really good because they're really digging into his actual like lizard bag with him doing alligator rolls and things like that in the game, which is super fun and hard to play against. General Shao, actually, from a story and from a gameplay perspective, has gotten a glow up in a lot of different ways, which I love as well. And I think the new folks in the roster have been really interesting. I think Li Mei is a character that a lot of folks played in the early betas and has gotten really, really good with. I think even from a cameo perspective, you know, folks like Darius coming back or, Motaro coming back.
Back is wild because like Darius
is like the dude from The Boys, the really fast dude from The Boys. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
Right, basically A-Train. But A-Train. He's basically A-Train. It's funny.
I forget what game they introduced him in. I know I probably played as him in like Armageddon or whatever. But
I think it's Deception.
Was he in Deception? God, everybody was Deception. When I look Deception. At Darius in like the cameo character selection screen and I use him, I'm like, what is his power? Like, what is he doing here? It feels like he's in the wrong game. It feels like he should be in like some other video game. I don't know.
Funny because like he doesn't have any like notable powers.
Yeah.
But he's also one of the most unique cameos in the game because he's like the only one that like your character interacts with. Like they'll jump on his back, he'll like swing him around.
Yep. This is funny. I'm looking up what Darius's powers are in Mortal Kombat, and the explanation from an interview is saying that the whole point of his character was to use abilities that no other character in the game used.
That's right. Really funny.
So, yeah, right. There you go. You're spot on about it.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is this character doing in this video game?
when I combo him, because basically a lot of folks have been using Jax with Raiden because of the combo potential there. I've been using Darius as an anti-using of Jax thing. And now when I put Raiden and Darius together, I just call them Black and Mild. and just have them as that team. But it's fantastic. I think a lot of those characters that we're seeing that have been pulled into the roster and have been really good. Even the small changes for like characters like Sindel has been really nice to be able to see. And I think, you know, the main characters that we've kind of known to come and love, they just have this flair to them now that is just very different and feels good. So those are the kind of characters I'd love to see more of. And then when we start getting into the conversations around DLC stuff that's coming down the line, like the options there are just going to be nuts when that stuff drops.
I have a question there because I finished the campaign and I was like, cool, my time with Mortal Kombat has come to an end. But then I was like, wait, there's actually some, I want to see Peacemaker. I want to see Omni-Man. Right. I want to see Homelander. What's going on with this? And then I like went to try to find him because the code we got had the DLC pack or whatever. So I was like, it'll be, and then it wasn't there. So I was a little sad about that. What's the deal with the DLC not being here, and is that normal? Is that to be expected?
I think that's to be expected, yeah. Okay. I think it's more of a season pass situation. And so think of like the Smash Brothers character packs. I don't think we have confirmation on dates or anything like that, so you just gotta wait
and
see.
None yet.
It'll probably be over the course of the next year. They'll release a new character probably every like 2 or 3 months. And by this time next year, we'll have all those characters out.
With the DLC characters, is there any story sections or is it just here's a character and have fun with it?
They're probably not. There's a tower. Every
character will have their own tower, so they'll have, like, you know, their own kind of ending that basically contextualizes why they're in Mortal Kombat. But that's pretty much.
I mean, that's enough for me.
And like, I'm honestly a little bit excited to see that because the characters, like the non-MK characters in the season pass are all these comic book anti-heroes characters, right? So it's Peacemaker, it's Omni-Man, and then who's the third
one?
Homelander, right? And so I wonder if it is I guess the timelines opened into comic books or whatever. Like, I think it's going to be something really corny like that, and that could be really fun. And so I'm excited to see what that is.
At least we'll get an explanation. Like, we did not get an explanation of why Homelander and the characters from The Boys were in Call of Duty, which is really funny.
It's like Homelander Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, basically, right? Like, hey, they'll pull Nicki into MK at some point, right? She'll have a spot in there somewhere.
Yeah. As we wrap this up, do you guys have any closing thoughts on Mortal Kombat 1?
Yeah, I'll go first. I think this sets them up and NetherRealm up for a really fantastic kind of future. Like, we talk about the roadmap in terms of like DLC stuff and potential new modes and things like that. I think where they have left off story-wise gives them the most room to add any wild stuff that we want. I know Bless and I had been talking about kind of the technical prowess of the team and the gore factor there, which has been ramped up, but also for our twisted minds is not really as sick as we wanted it to be.
Me and Kyle were like hanging out on the Discord playing Mortal Kombat, and we were like, this game's not violent enough. I don't know. Like, I kind of want more violence.
I agree there with just the way it's presented. I feel is so normalized at this point that it is a sensitivity thing.
I didn't know if it was my twisted brain being so used to it, or if this game just got less violent. But I think it's just our twisted brain.
I think it's just as violent. It's just like the way it's presented in such a polished way that it kind of like everything just looks like so clean.
There's an explosion to the blood where it's like, this might as well be Nickelodeon slime.
Yeah, straight up. That's a great way to put it.
There was one that Ka, I think, tagged me in where somebody like got like cut open and then half their body fell over or whatever. Yeah. And like you could see their inside. And that was the one where I was like, okay, no, they still got it. Got it. But yeah, you kind of have to search for it a little bit.
There is it's funny because you have the brutalities, which are kind of a weird mashup because they also feel a little bit like lower resolution, or it feels like you move from this space that is very high res and really visually fidelity wise kind of like what you have an expectation for. When you do brutality, it feels like it drops like half a level down in terms of what that looks like to get the animation and stuff together. But those second brutalities and fatalities, when I tagged Blessed, I was like, oh, this is stuff that we were waiting for. Yeah. I was able to get this kind of stuff. But I think there's also another layer that is just missing, and I don't know if that's coming, is stage fatalities, which is a huge thing for me. Mm. Is a thing I'm like, they've talked a lot about the kind of depth of the backgrounds and building those out into these really beautiful landscapes. And I'm just like, man, that's a thing that is just missing right now for me. Is like, that is a part of the canon that I think all MK fans are just waiting for and missing the greater story. So we'll see.
As well, too, that we don't have stage fatalities, and also like they took out the interactivity between the stages where you could like take a fucking desk that's in the background and throw it at an enemy. I think there's, you know, opportunity for them to maybe add that in as DLC, or maybe we'll see in the next Mortal Kombat. But speaking on that, and speaking even to what you're talking about, Tim, with, you know, what's to be expected out of the DLC, the way that the story ends, we're gonna have a aftermath. Mortal Kombat aftermath situation, because they leave that door open, and so I'm very excited to see what that is. But
excited too. Like, I will say, like, playing through the campaign and for everything that it was and wasn't, whatever, it ended and I was hoping that we would get a tease at stuff, and getting teased, I was like, I can't wait. I will be here for this.
But for my final thoughts, like, I'm so happy that Mortal Kombat is back. You know, I'm happy that it is more MK, even though I want to see even more beyond what MK is currently. But that said, you know, it's still such a fun game. I'm very excited to keep playing it with these guys.
Mitch, any final words from you?
Yeah, I do think that Mortal Kombat is set up for a very exciting future. My hope, honestly, is that future is something else other than a fighting game. I think NetherRealm is capable of really showing what they can do in other spaces. And honestly, that Johnny Cage chapter kind of like cemented that, like seeing that like environment that they're walking through, like this really high produced movie set. I was like, man, Like they could do so much if they decided to do some sort of character action game within the Mortal Kombat universe or another Shaolin Monks. I feel like we've gotten a lot of very similar style NetherRealm fighting games over the last 15 years, and I'm eager to see something else come from them. And I know I've talked to Ed Boon. I know he's eager to do something else too. So I know that there's a desire within the team to kind of branch out. And I just hope that WB kind of gives them that freedom to create something new and exciting in this universe.
Hell yeah. I'd be there day one for that for sure. Yeah. And last thing I want to say, this game is beautiful. So beautiful. I know we've touched on it a little bit, but like, I'm even just looking at some of the fatalities and stuff now. I don't know that I've ever seen background environments look this good. Resolution look this just crisp.
Dude, the
and
forest
pretty.
Level, like the Mystic Forest.
The shadows of the lights coming through the leaves, and like even when you're in Johnny Cage's house and like through like just where all the different slats are. I mean, yeah, there's footage up now. Like it's everything looks this good. Like I don't. This is one of the most visually impressive games I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely some of the most impressive stages in any fighting game I've ever seen. That probably includes Tekken 8. I know we haven't seen all the Tekken 8 stages, but you know those two are kind of neck and neck in terms of visual impressiveness.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank y'all for joining us today. Let us know in the comments below what your thoughts are on Mortal Kombat 1. Kyle, where can people find you?
You can check out more Spawn On Me stuff on all podcast platforms, youtube.com/SpawnOnMe, twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. I'm also co-hosting for a little bit over on Unlocked over at IGN as well, so doing a lot of work in that space and kicking ass on Combat League. Come get at me when you want these hands.
And Mitch, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jurassic Rabbit, or X if you really, really want to call it that. I'm an editorial producer at IGN. I do a lot of fighting game reviews, a lot of action game reviews. I got a preview that I'm working on that I can't talk about right now, but we'll probably be able to see it next week. And yeah, that's about it.
Well, thank y'all for joining us. Bless you as well, of course.
Of course.
But until next time, finish him.